Peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The things I've discovered that I admire the most in the world are the things that people can do that I am unable to do. Singing. Scott on the piano. Being able to do things like that. Doing things with your other hand. People are ambidextrous, amaze me because I'm not. I broke my thumb when I was in seminary on my right hand, and so I had to learn for 6 weeks, or 8 weeks, I guess it was, to do things left-handed. Now, what I discovered in this process was there's a lot of things that I could not do left-handed. Not complicated things, simple things. I couldn't brush my teeth. Honestly, I didn't have an electric toothbrush at the time. I had one of those old-fashioned manual ones, you know. And I found it easier to move my head than it was to move my left hand. Because when I tried to move my left hand, what I found is I was putting the toothbrushes in places it should not go that caused me a great deal of discomfort. Because I just couldn't get that motion down. Eating was another complicated thing because you can't really cut the food very well. And I was trying to hold things in my mouth with my other hand. And, you know, it just... So I ended up going to my friends and saying, "Would you please cut my food for me?" But that whole idea of people that can do things... You know, and there are people that are really ambidextrous. They can write with both hands. They can do all kinds of things with both hands. I knew somebody that could actually write forward and backwards at the same time. Which just befuddled me. There's a pitcher for the Oakland A's, Pat Venditti or something like that, I don't know how to pronounce it, who is an ambidextrous pitcher. He has a specially made glove that has two thumbs, one on each side, and so he can pitch with either hand. He can throw 85 miles an hour with his weaker arm. So there was a controversy that happened already in spring training because they were playing the Cubs and Dexter Fowler was coming up the bat. Dexter Fowler for the Cubs is a switch hitter. If you know anything about baseball, there's this whole righty-lefty thing. What? What'd I say? So... he's pitching right-handed. So Dexter Fowler's warming up, swinging left-handed. Dexter Fowler comes into the box. Now, the rule, apparently, and I couldn't imagine there was a rule for this, because how many pitchers pitch with both arms, is that he has to announce which side he's pitching from. And so he announces to the umpire before the batter gets into the box that he's going to pitch left-handed because Fowler was warming up as a left-handed batter. That gives him the advantage. And so now Dexter Fowler's all upset because he didn't get a chance to warm up right-handed. But there's no rule for that. Rules are an amazing thing because the rules are there to be able to kind of give us boundary and direction to keep us safe, do all kinds of different things for us. But the rules have intent. But rules also have the basic letter of the law, how they're written. And sometimes the way rules are written doesn't necessarily convey the intent of what that rule or law might be. Driving, for instance. So you go out on 101, and for a big portion of it, you go out on the 101. And for a big portion of it, it's 65 miles an hour. and there's that big number there. And above that number, what's it say? Speed limit. What does limit mean? Limit means the end. That's as far as you can go. That's as fast as you can go. And everybody who drives knows that that is not the case. Because to find the true limit to the law, you can take that number and you can add 9 to it, and you know that you should be reasonably safe unless you have a really cranky police officer following you. And so then the limit becomes 74. A bit of gray area. A lot of gray area in rules. Always is. Always has been. Probably always will be. The greatest amount of rules that we ever find actually don't come from the U.S. Congress, if you can believe that. The greater amount of rules actually come from parents. Think about it. Think about your childhood. Think about growing up. When you were born, you weren't handed a booklet that says, here's what you're not supposed to do, here's what you're supposed to do, read it, memorize it, hold this to heart because these be the rules. How do we learn the rules? Well, sometimes we learn the rules from experience. Sometimes we learn the rules from repetition. Any parent that has more than one child will tell you that the rules become a frenetic experience and expression that take place on a regular basis. Don't bounce the basketball in the house. Why is the garage door open? Close the garage door. What do you think we're doing? Air conditioning the entire neighborhood? Would you do something about this? Pick up your room. I can't stand this. Your socks are all over the place. Would you go and put the food back where it belongs? Would you put your dirty clothes where the dirty clothes hamper is? I told you a million times to go and get your homework done. Would you leave your sister alone? She's not doing anything to you. You're just annoying her. Leave the cat alone. I told you, don't touch that cat again. You're not supposed to use the wall to be able to put things on. Get the marker off the wall. Do your homework, for crying out loud. Use your indoor voice. I know I'm yelling, but you're driving me crazy because you're not following the rules. And sometimes that's the way we hear and learn the rules. But they're there for a reason. As hard as it might be for anybody under the age of 25 to understand this, the rules are there out of love. Because we love our kids. Sometimes we don't know why. But we have these rules to keep them safe. We have these rules to keep them somewhat content. We have these rules so they can be good members within their society. We have these rules so they can thrive and grow and learn. We have the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were born out of something that happened a long time before that. Abraham and Sarah, we talked about them last week. Now, Abraham and Sarah had that opportunity to be able to have this special relationship with God, where God says, through you two, there's going to be a great nation. And this great nation is going to be my people. I will be your God. You will be my people. Fast forward a few hundred years, we have Moses, part of that great nation. God says to Moses, here, go take these downstairs, show them to the kids. here be the rules. Okay, so we have these rules, these Ten Commandments, these things that are supposed to be able to envelop the world with an understanding of what it means to actually be God's people and how to live not only in relationship with God, but in relationship with one another. First three of the Ten Commandments are commandments that talk about the relationship we hold with God and how to prize and cherish that relationship, how to be able to actually express our love to God. The last seven are for us, so we know how to play nice. So we how to love each other, how to be kind to each other, how to care for each other, how to do all those things that God expects us to do with one another, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's kind of what Jesus said. But you see, these 10 things are there for us in the same manner in which we promote these rules, regulations, laws, and stipulations before our children. We do it out of love. Honest, Mason, it's out of love. And everything that you've promoted before your children is done out of love because you want to see all the good things happen to them. You want to see them to be able to thrive and survive and to really cherish this world the way we've had the opportunity to. You want to see them come into relationship with one another and to come into relationship with their God. You want them to understand the world in the manner for which we've come to understand the world, and you want them to hold this world in high esteem. But most of all, you want them to have a better experience at it than you did. Because we always want for our children a little bit better. God presented the Ten Commandments because God wanted nothing but the best for us as children. And if you really analyze the Ten Commandments and begin to look at them and understand that if the entire world would just follow these ten silly, simple rules, this would be a near perfect place. But instead of just taking the Ten Commandments and understanding the intent for which God had when they were presented to Moses and the people and passed down through generation to generation all the way down to us, instead of understanding the intent of what these ten are, we'd rather talk about the letter of the law. Because we like the letter of the law. It's like the speed limit, gray area. What can we get away with? What can we do to kind of sidestep the law without breaking the law? And if you don't really understand what I'm saying, think back to your childhood with all those rules and regulations your parents put before you. I can guarantee you there were ones that you looked at to try to subvert in some form or fashion by saying, well, you didn't really say that. And that's what we do with God from time to time. Looking to be able to do those things that we want to do rather than the things that we know we should do, and then smugly say, well, you didn't tell us that. And the reality is in our hearts, we know exactly what the intent of the law is. The beauty of it is when we stumble, whether knowingly or unknowingly, it is that love that God holds. It is that love that God gives. It is that law that first created and established these Ten Commandments for us that prevails. Because it is that love that continued on throughout the relationship that God held with His people. It is that love that continued that God was able to offer His Son as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins that allows us to know that despite our failures and failings, despite the fact that we might not be able to do the things that we want to do and be able to uphold all 10 of those things all at the same time, that there is that gift of love through Jesus Christ. That gift that sustains us, the gift that forgives us, the gift that frees us. But despite that fact, it doesn't turn the Ten Commandments into the Ten Suggestions. Because it is love that we return for love. And in the relationship that we hold with God, our love response to God is simply to do those things that God asks us to do on a regular basis and to try as hard as we can to improve day after day to become the people that God has called us to be. And despite the fact that we know that we will be forgiven when we do stumble and fall, we also know that the next day, as we awake as God's forgiven children, we move on boldly to try to represent to the world exactly the person God has called us to be. Living out God's love through those Ten Commandments. Living out God's love through the words that we convey to the world around us. But living out God's love through the very action of our lives. Allowing people to understand who we are as God's true chosen people, ones who have been blessed by God's love, ones who have been blessed by God's law, but most of all, ones who have been blessed by that forgiveness that God has given through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.